Blog Talk Radio.
Start the clock. Good afternoon. At the tone, time will be real time.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Let's Change the World, the Let's Change the World weekly talk radio show. It's a product of the Let's Change the World movement. The movement is all about everybody doing whatever little bit they can, no matter how small it is, to positively impact somebody else's life other than your own, or to positively impact your community as a whole. And if we all do whatever we can, then together we can change the world. We can make a difference. And the movement is all about encouraging everybody to pretty much get off your dead ass and do something. We all want positive change, but change doesn't happen on its own. We have to get involved, get active, and make change happen. To learn more about the movement, you can visit www.thechangetheworldmovement.com. That's www.thechangetheworldmovement.com. We do this every other Sunday. So this Sunday, we won't be here next Sunday. We'll be here the Sunday after that. So put that on your schedule. We do this every other Sunday. I'm joined by my co-host, Cheryl Elisa, who is a little bit under the weather. So join me in welcoming her today and making her feel a little bit better. Hey, Cheryl.
Good evening, Dale. How are you? Hey, everyone. How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. You sound a little bit better than you did when I talked to you earlier.
Yes, because after we talked, I laid down and got a little rest. I'm a little under the weather, everyone, so please excuse my voice, but I feel a little better every day. It's something going around, so everybody be careful. It's going around.
It's going around. The weather is no joke. Global warming is real, and I think that, because in cold states, it's warm. In warm states, it's cold. And then you never know what the weather is going to be from day to day. Don't change with the weather.
You're absolutely right. Isn't it crazy how I think back in maybe November, early December, the weather was beautiful here in Ohio anyway. And, we're not used to having temperatures like that. And so, and then that Punxsutawney feel lied to us because we've been getting snow. So this has just been, the weather actually here in Ohio has been crazy. But yeah, it is definitely going around. So please bundle up and take as much vitamin C as you can. That's what it is.
And don't change with the weather. Remember when your mother used to say that? Don't change your clothes with the weather.
Yes.
If it's cold one day, just because the temperature go up the next day, don't go running out the house half naked. Because that same bacteria and germs that was out there when it was colder, they really flourishing now that it's been got warmer.
Yes, definitely. You're right. You're absolutely right.
Thank God I haven't been sick yet. So, yeah, you sound great.
Well, good.
How's your? Are you having any other issues? Is everything else okay?
I'm actually, even though I will be able to do the show, I will be having surgery next Monday, so send out positive energy to me, please. Actually, over the years, I've had a dislocated shoulder, and I'm not for sure if everyone's familiar with that, but once your shoulder is dislocated, it is prone to do it again. And over the years, that's what had happened to me the last time being February 14th, and it's funny because my shoulder got dislocated. I went to the hospital. They popped it back in. Came home, taking my shirt off and trying to put some pajamas on, and it popped back out. So I had to revisit the emergency room twice in a row, twice the same night. And basically, to make a long story short, they have a surgery for it now, which I didn't know because back in the day, it was just popping in and you'll go on about your way. But now they have surgery to correct it. So I will be having that next Monday on the 14th. So send some positive energy my way. I'm nervous, but I'm actually ready to get it over with so I can live a normal life. Because when that happens mentally, and people, I don't know, you know, if anyone out there has ever experienced it, but when that does happen mentally, you're scared to even pick up a piece of tissue because you don't know when it's going to pop out. So I think it would be a good thing for me. You know, that's the thing. And it's really more so, even though it does, it hurts like hell, but it's really more so mentally because you're scared to make a move, not knowing. So this actually is a good thing for me. So I will be much better. And I'm happy just to get it over with so I can not be mentally discouraged.
I know what you mean.
For lack of a better word.
I know exactly what you mean because I've had some back trouble over the years. And when you get to a certain point, you're scared to move because, oh, my God, if I move this way, is it going to throw my back out? Is the pain going to be there, you know? And the pain can come so fast and so hard and so sharp that you don't want to experience it. So you're, like, scared to move.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's the good thing that they do have a surgery to correct it. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm actually looking forward to it.
Well, you know, you're in my prayers. We're going to send all that positive energy your way. And all the people out there in radio land, we all got you back. So we're going to have a good show today. And we're going to, you know, I got some ridiculous news to get us started.
I'm ready.
Because there's some ridiculous stuff going on in the world, as usual. Well, this is kind of, I don't know if it's ridiculous or sad, but somebody hit the lottery for $291 million. It was a judge in Pennsylvania, like he needed the money. It don't ever seem like real poor people hit for the big lottery. Have you ever heard anybody really poor hit the lottery?
Not really. Maybe one or two people, but no. For the most part,
mostly it's people who already got a lot of money, you know, or at least living pretty good, but never anybody just really dirt poor that's just really suffered, hits the lotto. I don't know why that is. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it just seems that way. But anyway, this judge in Pennsylvania hit the lotto. He won $291 million, and his brother hit the lotto, too.
Really?
Guess what he hit for?
Oh, my goodness.
$7.
Are you serious? Are you serious? You can't make me laugh because I'm going to cough. Are you serious?
$7. His brother hit for $291 million, you know, and you could kind of imagine the brother, you know, the one brother who hit for $7, he like, ain't this some shit? I mean, really?
Right. Okay. Well, hopefully the other brother shares his wealth with him.
That's what I'm wondering because I'm sure he gave him something. But you know what? Sometimes people hit for money, and it don't matter if you're family or not. They get a grip on it like money will take over your mind. And it's sad.
Yes, it will.
You know,
yes,
and I hope
will.
That's not the case here. But in some cases, money will take over your mind. And $291 million, you'll start imagining that you got to save every penny of it. You can't give anybody any or it's going to go away. You know what I mean? When
that's
in reality,
right.
You'll never be broke again. So, I thought that was kind of ridiculous. Also, there was an 18-wheeler that ran off the road, and you'll never guess who was driving. It was a dog behind the wheel of the truck. Now, I don't know if somebody put the dog behind the wheel of the truck, and this was some kind of a prank or whatever, but the dog was behind the wheel of the truck when it ran off the road. It was an 18-wheeler.
Wow.
Ran off the road.
Oh,
man, there's some strange stuff going on in the world.
Yes,
that's all
that
I know.
Is. That's very strange.
Now, there was this is the second time I've heard, this is the second half of this story that I think several weeks ago I gave the first half of the story. But there's a six-year-old Canadian kid. I'm going to tell the first half first. Canadian kid, his parents wanted to take him to Disney World in Florida. So you know, this guy been, you know, he lives in Canada. He's been saving up all his money. He's not a rich guy. He's just an average guy. Wanted to take his kids, wanted to take his kids to Disney World, and saved up all his money, get to the airport to fly to Disney World, and his son is on the no-fly zone as a terrorist. His son is 6 years old.
Really?
Right. And they're Muslims.
Okay.
So, you know, and they wouldn't let this guy take his son. He had booked hotel rooms, you know, all the whole nine yards, bought the airline tickets, the whole nine yards, took off from work, did everything. You know what I'm saying? He had already had a huge investment in this whole venture, and they wouldn't let him. So they went through all the paperwork and everything. And do you know they still, and this is like months later, they still won't let this kid go to Disney World.
Really? So they checked out everything, and, well, of course, he's a very young child, and they're still saying no?
Right. The whole, now, the mom and the dad are allowed to go.
But the son,
you know what I'm
not
saying? You would think that it would be the mom and dad that wouldn't be allowed to go because they are the ones who are old enough to really get hold of some through a terrorist act, right? But no, it's this one out of the whole family, and he's got a couple other kids, out of the whole family, it's this one six-year-old kid that's not allowed to fly into the United States.
That is so crazy. That is really crazy. And hopefully they have this information mixed up with someone else.
I mean, hopefully that's what it is. You know, they got this information mixed up with somebody else, but you would think that we got our stuff together. Somebody would have common sense enough to say, let the kid go to Disney World, you know. I mean, really? You know, if anything, investigate the parents, you know what I mean? But the kid, really? Has this kid ever been involved in terrorism before? You know, if not, then, and it is possible because kids do strap them bombs on themselves and do stuff, you know.
True.
So I guess on the flip side, you got to look at it that way, I guess. There was this homeless guy who wanted a job, so he started handing out resumes while he was sitting out on the street when somebody hired him in Sacramento, California. And so the only reason I'm telling this one is because don't be talking about you can't get a job.
Okay.
You know, this guy is homeless, sitting out, and I wish you could see the picture because I can see the picture of this guy, you know. And he's just homeless, sitting out on the street with all his stuff, you know, bags of stuff, clothes and stuff like that, sitting out on the street, and he starts handing out his resume, and then somebody came and hired him.
That is awesome. That is awesome. And you're absolutely right. So when people do say that, you know, there's no jobs and I can't get a job, yeah, let's think twice about that.
It's something out there for you. Now, you know, it may not be your dream job, but if you just need an income to put some money in your pocket, pay some bills, you can get a job, and then you just have to search for another one until you get a better one. You know what I mean? You just have to take your baby steps up. But the problem is a lot of people think certain things are beneath them. And I get it because sometimes if you've got a skill or you're at a certain level in your life, you hate to go backwards. You know what I mean? And you hate to take a lesser job knowing that once you get that job, you got to be at work every day. It makes it twice as hard to look for another one because you don't have the time to even look or go to a job interview. I get all that. But if you're in a position where you really need money, you just got to suck it up and take what you can get for a while.
That's right. That's right. You have to by any means necessary. And I agree with that because some people do. They shy away from certain jobs, qualified, let's just say. And in actuality, you know, the way the world is going today, you know, I'm not saying to settle for less either. That's not what I'm saying. But for right now, you have to take what you can get to make ends meet until you can move up into something better. You know what I mean?
And do like the rest of us, work 2-3 jobs, you know what I mean? Sometimes you got to work a couple jobs, you know, work a part-time and a full-time. Sometimes you got to get your hustle on the side, you know, if you can do hair on the side or if you can cut grass on the side, work on, you know, with somebody on the side under the table. And, yes, I said it, work under the table. do what you got to do. You know, get your hustle on and make
right.
Make ends meet. You know what I mean?
That's right.
And we're going to talk about some of this later because of the title of the show. But there's more ridiculous news. I'm not going to go with too many of them. But there's going to be a museum in Los Angeles of broken relationships. So they're looking for donations in Los Angeles for this museum. And I'm sitting here, the only thing I can think of is how much is this museum going to cost? Because, you know,
okay.
L.A. don't do nothing in a small. They don't do nothing small. You know,
right,
so
right.
I'm imagining this at least a $40, $50 million museum or something like that for broken relationships. And you can go, I guess, see everybody's hardship stories and stuff like that. And they're looking for donations.
Oh, well, good luck with that. Hopefully, even though, you know, I guess that's a good idea, but hopefully they won't have too many. Because, I mean, my goodness, you know, that wouldn't give someone hope to go on, but okay.
I mean,
that's what works for them.
But there's a broken relationship story on every corner. I mean, I got some that I could donate. You know what I mean? It's like, how many? I don't know. And it sounds kind of depressing to me. I'm going to go to a museum and look at everybody's hardship stories. Unless you got hardship stories of, like, famous people, you know, then, you know, you might want to go see that. I could see.
Right.
But anyway, this is the last one. Ohio police post a lost and found ad for a bag of meth.
What?
Place the ad in the paper, a lost and found ad to see if anybody wanted to come and recover a bag of meth.
Wow. I hope someone didn't come and claim it.
I don't know. But, I mean, it's not that it sounds like a stupid idea initially, but when you think about, have you ever seen The World's Dumbest Criminals? That TV
yes.
show? You know,
yes,
and you
I
see
have.
Some of the dumb stuff that the criminals do on that show and how they get caught. You know, you would initially think this is a dumb idea by the police, but, you know, it might not be all that dumb because somebody might come claim it.
Wow.
And, of course, once
you
come claim it and you say, yes, that's my bag of meth, they're going to throw some handcuffs on you. But, you know, that's just how dumb some people are. Because what about the guy, you weren't on the show last week, Dickless News, and the guy he was selling marijuana.
Okay.
So, but he was also smoking a ton of weed, too. And you know weed make you paranoid. So he had smoked so much weed that he got so paranoid that he started imagining that the FBI was after him. So he decided to get a jump on things and call them up and turn himself in before they bust his door down and run up in there. And the FBI had no idea that he was selling weed.
Oh, my.
No idea
so
whatsoever.
Okay.
Oh, man, crazy. That's why I say that might not be that bad of an idea, because people are that dumb.
Yeah.
So we got jobs. Grab your pen
yeah.
and your paper. You know, get ready, because we got jobs, 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 jobs that can change your world. So grab your pen, grab your paper, and get ready. Cheryl, I'm going to let you go first, because you're a lady, and ladies first.
That is so, Dale, you know what? You are such the nicest guy I've ever met in my life. That is so nice that you're letting me go first, me being a lady and all. Thank you.
Well. You know, I'm over here teasing and blushing and all that.
I'm so glad. I'm glad to hear that. So listen, everyone, I do have a few jobs that I want to give you guys. And again, before I do my job, just letting you know, Dell and I do the segment every other week. And I actually, when I do my jobs, I just want to say this, Dell, I look for every aspect, like, you know, different jobs in the community because of the fact what you just said, And what you said was people were talking like they can't find a job. Well, when I do my job search, I do on all levels, you know, so I know that there's some people that have a college degree, there's some people that don't, you know. And so the whole gist of this is there is a job for everybody that, you know, that's willing to take this employment. So when we read these jobs off to you guys, you know, and pass it along to a friend. Pass it along to your friend. If you can't use it or you're not qualified, pass it along to someone who can. You know, it'll make a big difference. And I'm going to start out with my first job, and it is for the Akron Metropolitan Housing Authority, also known as AMHA. They are looking for a certification specialist, and the higher rate, and I want to put this out there, is $16.49, which to me is good because of the minimum qualifications. And the minimum qualification for this job is just a high school diploma. So, again, some people have degrees, some people don't. This one is just asking for a high school diploma. Again, it's $16.49 an hour, and basically what you'll do is just conduct annual reexaminations for people that's paying their rent, verifying appointments with tenants, providing accurate and timely information to tenants and owners / agents of the AMHA. You have to maintain tenant files, and the most thing that you'll be doing every day is just preparing rent increases and reissuing certificates for the housing qualifications, and you testify at different hearings when people have AMH hearings. To apply for this job, you can apply at 100 West Cedar Street, and that's in Akron, Ohio. You can apply for this job no later than March 10th of this month, you know, 2016. Or you can call the phone number, which is 330-252-9262. You can also email your resume at personnel@akronhousing.org. And I thought that was a pretty good job. My next one I'm going to is McDonald's. McDonald's, which is a friendly place, they're hiring. They're actually hiring for all shifts. And this location is 1359 East Talmadge Avenue, which also is in Akron, Ohio. If you can't make it there actually to the building, you can apply online at www.mylocalmcd. And again, with that job, they're hiring for all shifts. My next one is Time Warner Cable. They're actually hosting a job fair tomorrow, March 7th. And it will be at the Akron Urban League at 440 Vernon Odom Boulevard, Akron, Ohio, 44307. And they start this one at 2 p.m. So if you can't make it out there early or you have to catch the bus, just know this job fair actually starts at 2 p.m. in the afternoon. Again, that's at the Akron Urban League. So make sure you bring your resumes and get there. My next job is Rocky Knoll Retirement Living. They are hiring STNAs, and they're having a huge event being held on Wednesday, March 9th, from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., and then again from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. You can apply there at Rocky Knoll Retirement Living. I actually don't have an address for that, but if you Google it, I'm more than sure that one will come up. The next one I have is a multiple industrial exterior cleaning on March 14th. It is first shift Monday through Friday from 6:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. and no weekends. This job does start out from between $10 and $12 per hour. And to apply for this job, you can contact Casey at 330-869-2399. My next one is another job fair that they're having, which will be this Tuesday, March 8th, from 11 a.m. to 2 o'clock p.m. And this is located at 1040 East Talmadge Avenue, and it's the Ohio Job Center. They are hiring for a lot of positions they're having at this job fair, from secretary to medical to general labor positions. You must bring two forms of ID and also a resume. If you guys can get there, by all means. You know, the good thing, Dale, about a lot of these job fairs is it's like a one-stop shop. You know what I mean? You can take your resume, and they'll have different job opportunities available going down the line, and give them your resume. The next job that I do have is Dial America. If anyone is into as far as phone work, you can. They have the biggest hire event March 9th also, and that is located at 3090 West Market Street in Fairline. And all you have to do is go there actually and fill out the application, 3090 West Market Street, Fairline. And they're having a huge hiring event again on March 9th. I have two more. The next one is Senior Helpers Northeast Ohio. Now, the reason why I picked this one is because this is for seniors. If we have, again, like Dale said, there's jobs for everyone. So this job is more geared towards 55 years and older, and it's Senior Helpers of Northeastern Ohio, and they have all types of different jobs available. You can call in at 330-835-9671, or you can apply online at www.joinseniorhelpers.com. And again, to reiterate again, this job is for people that's in older. If you guys are looking for a job or you just want something part-time to get out of the house, you've retired, this is the place that you should apply. And my last one is for First Energy. First Energy is hiring customer service representatives. They're hiring at $11 an hour, and you have to have a year of customer service experience. It's a really good job. And the one qualification, again, that sticks out for this one is you just have to have a high school diploma. That is it. So if you're interested in applying for this job for First Energy, they are going to be scheduling training for 6 to 8 weeks starting next month. So if you're interested, please send your resume to drew@staffingtheuniverse.com or jreyes, which is R-E-Y-E-S, at staffingtheuniverse.com. And good luck, everyone. Someone found something out of the jobs that I mentioned.
Okay. I've got a whole lot of jobs for different areas. So you got to be fast with me because I'm going to keep it moving. I got a few for Cleveland. She just gave quite a few for the Akron area. I got a few for Cleveland. Uline, U-L-I-N-E. They're looking for representatives. All you got to do is look them up. Uline, look them up online in Cleveland. Also, HCR Manor Care in Cleveland. Okay, they're looking for a business office manager. They're looking for someone with associate's degree in accounting or related field or 2 years of experience, whichever you have. HCR, Hotel Charlie Romeo Manor Care in Cleveland. They're looking for an entry-level sales associate at Scott's Lawn Service, $50,000 a year. Entry-level sales, Scott's Lawn Service. That's in Cleveland. Look them up. Also in Cleveland, Customer Service Assistant 2 for the state of Ohio, $16.76 an hour. They're saying you might be confined to a desk answering the telephone for 6 to 7 hours a day, so be ready. $16.76 an hour through the state of Ohio. They're looking for a Customer Service Assistant 2, Cuyahoga County. Okay? I'm going to move on to, well, let's see here. I want to get out of Ohio because some of y'all might think we stuck in Ohio. Let's go to Chicago. Chicago, Lyft driver. The name of the company is actually Lyft, L-Y-F in Chicago. $1,500 a week. They're looking for a Lyft driver. Signing up to be a Lyft driver is the perfect opportunity for you to earn extra cash. So it sounds like it's not full time, but $1,500 a week sounds good. They're looking for cashiers at Red Robin Burger Works. Red Robin Burger Works, $9 an hour. They're looking for cashiers. There's a $100 sign-on bonus, plus $9 an hour. Red Robin in Evanston, Illinois. That's Evanston, Illinois. Also in Chicago, they're looking for an accounting executive. The name of the company is Screen Vision. That's one word, Screen Vision. If you're an accounting executive, that's in Chicago. They're looking for a driver helper at Gate Gourmet, $16.32 an hour in Schiller Park, Illinois. This is Schiller Park, Illinois. The name of the company is Gate Gourmet, looking for a driver helper, $16.32 an hour. Okay. Let's move to Gary. Gary area, over there in Munster, Indiana. They're looking for a chart prep for medical records. This is the Centers for Pain Control is the name of the organization. Centers for Pain Control in Munster. They're looking for a chart prep for medical records. If you have that skill, call them up. Look them up. PSC Industrial Outsourcing LP. Papa Sierra Charlie, PSC Industrial Outsourcing in Hammond, Indiana. They're looking for laborers, okay? If you need a job, look them up. They're looking for laborers. Also, the Kaminsky Agency, Allstate. This is in Schererville, Indiana. They're looking for a marketing specialist. They're also looking for interns. So this is the Kaminsky, K-A-M as in Mary, I-N as in Nancy, S-K-I, Kaminsky Agency. They're looking for a warehouse materials handler at Prax Air, P-R-A-X-A-I-R, that's one word, in East Chicago. Prax Air. Okay, let's move to the Piedmont, North Carolina Piedmont, down there in Winston-Salem, my own old stomping grounds. AT&T is hiring $55,700 a year to start. Retail sales consultants is what they're looking for. Retail sales consultants, $55,000. Also in Winston, there's a company called Pathologist Diagnostic Laboratories. They're looking for non-registered histotechs. If you don't know what it is, you probably don't qualify. But if you know what it is, maybe you're qualified. Non-registered histotech. The name of the company is Pathologist Diagnostic Laboratory PA in Winston. They're looking for jerk dog treat maker. Anybody know what that is? That's Pawley's in Kernersville. Name of the company is Pawley's, P-A-W-L-E-E. Apostrophe S, LLC, okay? Customer support specialist, they're looking for at Kaplan Early Learning Company. That's K-A-P-L-A-N, look them up. Kaplan Early Learning Company, looking for customer support specialist in Winston. Let's move on out to Greensboro. They're looking for customer service representatives at Expert Global Solutions. Expert Global Solutions. Look them up. Greensboro, North Carolina, customer service representatives. Also, in Greensboro, Baxalta, B-A-X-A-L-T-A. Hopefully I pronounced that right. B-A-X-A-L-T-A, looking for a center supervisor. Assures that all center employees comply with all federal, state, local, and company-specific rules, regulations, and practices related, blah, blah, blah. So if you think that's for you, look them up in Greensboro. Jet Hot LLC in Burlington. Jet Hot LLC is looking for customer service representatives. Check them out. JET-HOT-LLC. Let's move down to Miami, South Florida. Okay, United Health Group, they're looking for provider customer service representatives, provider customer service representatives at United Health Group in Miami. Look them up. They're hiring right now. Superior Logistics International is paying $34,000 a year for a cost clerk. That's in Doral. If you live near Doral, check them out. Superior Logistics International, LLC. They're looking for a cost clerk, $34,000. American Ambulance. They're looking for paramedics. American Ambulance in Miami. Let's get out of Miami and let's go to Fort Lauderdale. That's where I'm at. Oakland Park. They're looking for Postmates. The name of the company is Postmates. Actually, they're looking for delivery drivers. So if you can drive, you might be in there. Probably have to have a good driving record, I would imagine. You probably have to be insurable. Postmates is looking for a delivery driver. That's in Oakland Park. Fort Lauderdale, American National Bank is looking for tellers. Okay, American National Bank in Fort Lauderdale, they're looking for tellers. Check them out. If you like animals, Yuppie Puppy. Yuppie Puppy in Coral Springs, they're looking for a pet groomer assistant. So you can assist in grooming pets. Call Judy at 954-753-7647. Call Judy, 954-753-7647. Or look them up, Yuppie Puppy. Also, J Restaurant Group. That's capital J, capital A, capital E, Restaurant Group. That's in Miramar. They're looking for a crew site supporters. All employees must be at least 16 years of age. So, hey, if you've got kids who need a job, as long as they're at least 16 years of age, they might qualify for the position. Check them out. And finally, can't leave out my home boys and girls in the ATL. They're looking for warehouse associates up to $25 an hour at U-Line. U-Line seems to be hiring all over the country. So it don't matter where you are. If you got a U-Line in your neighborhood, check them out. They pay good. $25 an hour in Atlanta. Warehouse associate up to $25 an hour. You know what I'm saying? Minimum requirements is a high school diploma. You know, so if you at least got a high school diploma, they'll probably take a GED. Check them out. They're also looking for sales internships. It's a paid internship, so it's not free. Check them out. That's Uline, U-L-I-N-E. TJM, Tango Juliet Mike. TJM Claims Service, DBA, AmeriClaim. AmeriClaim in Oakwood, Georgia. They're looking for an administrative assistant. They want you to be able to type, have a professional appearance, must possess an ability to learn and adapt to a changing work environment, assist the branch owner as needed. That's in Oakwood, administrative assistant. They're looking for a mall clerk. This is the Department of Veterans Affairs in Decatur. The Department of Veterans Affairs is looking for a mail clerk. Check them out. The City of Atlanta is looking for summer payroll assistant. A summer payroll assistant one is the name of the position. Summer payroll assistant one, City of Atlanta. $14 an hour. Okay. You plan and implement educational, recreational, and social enrichment activities for campers. The purpose of the job is to provide payroll processing assistance. Customer service representatives in Atlanta. The name of the company is Armstrong. They're hiring in Atlanta. So there's a lot of jobs out there, you guys. Don't say ain't no jobs. They out there. And if you can't find one, all you got to do is tune in to our show every other week, and we're going to do the same thing. If you live in a community where we are not offering jobs, but you would like us to, you know, let us know. You can let us know on today's show. You can find us on Facebook, Let's Change the World Radio Show. You can find me, Cheryl Alisa, on the show. My name is Dale Davis. Look us up. Let us know what areas you want us to offer jobs in. So on with the show. So today, the title of today's show is The State of Our Union. And I think that's an appropriate title since we're in the election season for the President of the United States. But this is not all about politics, today's show, somewhat, but also about just the state of our union in the United States and in our communities, in the minority communities as well. You know, every time you turn on the news, you know, it's negativity. Something bad is going on. You know, Flint, Michigan, they're like 70 miles from the shores of the largest group of freshwater in the whole world, the Great Lakes. The largest group of freshwater lakes in the entire world, yet they can't drink the water. You know what I mean?
Wow.
That's crazy. Yeah. You know, from 2001 to 2013, there were 2,166 Americans killed in the Afghan War. But from 2003 to 2012, there were 4,797 murders in Chicago.
Wow.
So there were over two times as many murders in the city of Chicago as there were in the whole Afghan War. So that was a war zone. You might as well call Chicago a war zone, you know. And
yes,
it's not the
exactly.
only city. Sorry, you know, I don't mean to call just Chicago out, but that's just an extreme case. But this is going on in cities across the nation. And 75% were black-on-black murders. 75% black-on-black murders. That's crazy.
That is. That is totally crazy.
You know, and just
and
to go through some more to – go ahead.
Well, the thing just to touch on that real quick is, you know, I feel my personal opinion is, you know, let's get to the core of it. Really a huge death toll for and especially when it's black on black. And I'm not going to say especially. Let me take that back because, you know, a murder to me is a murder. And, of course, you know, if we're talking about it, you break it down with the black-on-black crime. Of course, it's just really unheard of. But it's just the murders, period. Like, you know, they really have to get to the core of that and understand what's going on and try to get a solution because these are people's loved ones that are just dying, like, literally every single day, you know, and I look at it. It's so funny that you said that because I was just talking to a girlfriend of mine earlier today stating how, you know, it was a time where you could just blatantly just leave your door open. Like you could. You could leave your front door open or your back door open and, you know, you can walk away or you can trust people. You can run out of gas and someone can pull over on the side of the road and give you a ride or vice versa. You know, and it's not like that anymore. And we need to understand what actually is going on, get to the core of the problem, and come up with a solution because that is so that number is huge. That number is.
Well, you
huge.
Know, I already believe I have the solution. Our organization, Unlimited Education, we've come up with the solution. The problem is how do we get the solution implemented? But the solution is really so simple that nobody wants to believe that that could be it because it just sounds too simplistic to possibly be the solution. But the solution is just morals, values, and ethics. Now, a lot of people believe the solution is gun control. Okay. And,
right.
you know, since you stopped us here, I'm going to go on a tangent on this because gun control, although sensible gun control does make sense, it's not the solution. Because a gun has never picked itself up and pointed itself at anybody and pulled its own trigger. A gun is just a tool, just like a hammer or a shovel is a tool. It will just sit there and lay there unless somebody picks it up and puts it to use. And tools are not good or bad. They are neutral. Either of the tools I just mentioned can be used for whatever the person who picks them up wants to use them for. A gun can be used to protect people, or it can be used to murder people, depending on who picks it up. It's neutral. It's just a tool. And The issue is not the gun. It's the people who pick it up. We have to fix the people in America. Okay? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm all for sensible gun control because I don't believe that we should make it as easy as possible for people who would commit murders to be able to get their hands on a murder weapon. But at the same time, if we think that that's going to solve the problem, we're fooling ourselves. If the problem is we have a gun culture and a murder culture in our society. Everything that we, our kids are taught from day one is within a framework of violence. Okay, as soon as they start watching TV, violence, guns and violence, video games, guns and violence. They go to school, they fight at school. Somebody has a knife at school. You know, somebody has a gun at school. And then after school, they're fighting. And then when they get home, there's no parents at home because the state of the economy, you know, you've got way too many single parents and they're working two jobs or they're going to work in the daytime, school at night. So the kids come home and they're by themselves to get on the internet where there's guns and violence. And then they watch TV, guns and violence, and they go out on a corner where you got gangs, drugs, and violence. You know what I'm saying? So
right. Until
we improve the very basic morals, values, and ethics and this violent culture that we have in the United States, we're not ever going to – no gun control is going to fix anything.
I agree. I can agree with that. Yeah,
you know?
Because you're right. It's actually – yeah, it is. It's actually a tool. It's the person behind that tool. That's what it
exactly.
is. Exactly. Yeah.
I could lay, because I know you, now I could lay a whole table full of automatic weapons in front of you, and no matter how mad you might be at somebody right now, and there may be somebody you're mad at right now, I don't know, but if there is, or if there's something you don't like in this country or in this world, I can lay out a table full of automatic weapons, but for you to pick one of them up and go use it on someone is probably unthinkable.
Right. Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So it don't matter that the guns are laying there because in your mind you have the morals and value. You've been taught that killing is unthinkable. It's something that you do not do. Unfortunately, in our society, many of our kids grow up thinking that killing is the solution in some cases.
Yeah.
That's just the way they grow up. They believe that there are situations where you should kill somebody. You know what I mean? And some of the situations are dumb. Some kids think that if I'm selling drugs on this corner and you come over on my corner and invade my space, it's right for me to kill you. And, you know, and that's just the way it is.
And that's horrible. And that is. And speaking of that real quick, since you said that, you know, it's crazy because some people will look at it, you know, that's one of the things, with, like you were saying, our topic is, you know, like bad things. And some people, different organizations, honestly, just I'm going to put it out there, they're looking at it as if they are happy that this is happening because they're feeling some sort of overpopulation on the planet. And I'm seeing this crazy as it may sound, everyone out there. But there are some organizations, you know, and I won't name a few, but at the end of the day, you know, they're feeling like, hey, you know, we're happy that this is going on. This is the ongoing war between, you know, black-on-black crime because they're saying, you know, it's overpopulated. So they're doing nothing but killing off their own, so we don't have to do that. You know, the population of the planet actually is reaching high levels. It really is. And as overpopulated as the planet, you know, they're reaching high levels, but we're facing a shortage. We're facing a shortage of water, like you mentioned, in Michigan. You know, they're facing a shortage of fuel. I mean, just as far as food, you know, it really is. Those are the main things that I see of resources that they're it's being short out here. It's becoming a shortage. And they're actually happy of the depletion of the population. Seriously, it may sound crazy, but in all actuality, it's true. That's why I agree with you. It's the person behind it.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, though, And you're right. There are organizations who, you know, think stupidly. They think that, you know, hey, these niggas out here killing each other. Good. Keep the population
yes.
down. You know what I mean? Of course. You know. But what we have to do is stop obliging them. You know what I mean? It's just so ridiculous to me that we focus on things that are so minor relatively. And I want to throw that word relatively in there because I don't want to say some things are minor. But, for example, and I know somebody's, you know, out there is going to disagree with me. But there always is. But we focus a lot of our time on nonsense as black people, to me. You know, we sit up here and we get all riled up because they won't say that Jesus was black. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
All the pictures of Jesus are white. So, you know, we're sitting here, you know, we'll raise a big stink about that. But nobody will raise a big stink about us killing each other in mass numbers. That figure that I just gave, twice as many black people killed by other black people than were killed in the entire Afghanistan war. You
wow.
know what I'm saying? Why are
yes.
we not, you know, pouncing on that? But we point our finger, you know, we get all riled up. Oh, there were only, there were no black nominees at the Oscars.
Yeah, right.
But what about
that?
The 4,000 people that were killed in one city? You know what I'm saying? That was just one city I was talking about. You know what I'm saying? 4,000, 75%
yes.
of them, black-on-black crime. Why aren't we, why is this not, does anybody understand how much misery it causes for one black person to die? Okay, your son, let's say you have a son, he gets killed by another black man. Do you know, and say it's by my son. My son kills your son. You know how much misery
okay.
that's going to cause for the parents, you, your significant other, me, if I have a significant other, you know, the misery that that's going to cause us, the financial devastation because you're going to hire an attorney to prosecute my son, and I'm going to hire an attorney to try to keep my son out of prison because even though he killed somebody, I still love my son. I don't want him to get the electric chair. I don't want him to go to prison for the rest of his life. You know what I'm saying? So, of course, I'm going to try to keep my son out of prison, and you're going to have to spend money on attorneys to put him in prison. Then you got to bury your son. That's going to cost thousands of dollars. You know what I'm saying? The court case is going to go on and on and on. And now your son might have siblings who are going to suffer misery, you know what I mean? And me, my son may have siblings that are suffering misery, and then eventually my son's going to go to prison, you know what I mean? And it's just so much misery that's caused. And then now that my son's in prison, your son is dead, one of us might decide to get on drugs and alcohol because we're depressed. You know, we're not going to work like we used to. You know, the unproductivity that's caused. One of us might end up even committing suicide. Or maybe your son, your son's sibling might decide, hey, I better get me a gun because they're killing out here. You know what I'm saying? So now your
uh-huh.
other son goes and gets a gun and he gets into a gang. And maybe he decides, I'm going to get some revenge. And he goes out and kills them. You know what I mean? It's just a perpetual
yes.
thing that goes on and on. So
yes.
who this, I'm going to ask you a question. Who is responsible for it and who can fix it?
Well, you say who's responsible for it. Well, to me,
okay.
my personal opinion is, number one, it takes a village to raise a child. But charity starts at home. I believe that's where it starts at. I believe that at the end of the day, you have to be and let's not forget this part because I want to throw this in real quick. You know, we as parents can raise our children to the best of our ability, and they still will go out here and choose a different path. But knowingly, you know, as far as their upbringing. You have to be hands-on. See, I believe it does take a village to raise a child. I think that we are responsible for our children, of course, at up to a certain age. You know, once they do turn 18 or, you know, considering a legal adult, then what they do, to me, I feel like it shouldn't have a reflection on the parent, but it does, you know. It does, because that's the first thing that people would say, you know. Well, the parents should have taught them better. The parents should have been in their life. But I think it actually starts at home. That's just my opinion.
Okay, let me throw a wrench in that, Salute. I mean, I agree with that. Anybody that's listening to this show, I can guarantee, agrees with that. It's just common sense. It starts at home with the way you raise your kids. You got to raise them with the proper morals, values.
True.
But here's the wrench in the game. The problem is that you can't make that happen. You cannot make that happen. Right now, in the minority communities, not just blacks, but Hispanics and so forth, in these communities, you've got way too many single-parent households at this time. Now, we could talk about how we got to this point, but I think to some extent how we got here is somewhat irrelevant. We're here. So where do we go from here? And right now, today, there are way too many single-parent households, and a lot of them are young kids who were raised without morals, values, and ethics themselves. So we can't expect someone who's – and that's why they have kids as a kid. The reason a 16, 17-year-old or 15 or 14-year-old has a baby is because they weren't raised with the proper morals, values, and ethics education themselves. So they had a baby. Now, we know that the morals, values, and ethics education should start at home, but the problem is that the parent has no morals, values, and ethics. So how can we expect that parent to teach their child morals, values, and ethics? And then once the child gets old enough to start understanding, man, now this is a serious responsibility, they're misled into thinking that the way to go is to start working two jobs, or I need to go to work in the daytime, go to school at night. So they in the mindset of, I've got to make some more money, and that's the best thing I can do for my child is to make more money so I can bring them up with the things that I never had. And it's a flawed concept, because what ends up happening is you're not the one who ends up raising your child. We know that these morals, values, and ethics education should start at home, but you're not at home to deliver it. Your child's being raised by somebody else. Okay, they get up, they go to school all day. When they get out of school, you're still not home. So the kids are going to a babysitter's or to a family member's or somewhere, or either there's no one and they're just getting on the internet, watching TV, or out on the streets getting their morals, values, and ethics education from the streets, from the internet, and from the TV. And it's all bad morals, values, and ethics education. So all of a sudden, your kid is 12, 13 years old, the police call you up on the phone and they say, we have your son just got caught stealing, and you're floored. You're like, how in the hell? I didn't teach. And then when you see your son, you're like, I didn't teach you to steal. You didn't. Somebody else did. And you'll say something ridiculous like, I didn't raise you to steal. No, you didn't raise your child to steal. You didn't raise your child at all. Somebody else did.
Right.
Does that make any sense?
That makes sense. But now this is my question to you. You know, it does make sense. But when you're saying there, and I do agree with you on the aspect of there are a lot of single parents out here raising children. I totally agree with that. I mean, that right there, it's huge numbers out here for these single parents. But, you know, the thing is, you know, of course they didn't ask to become single parents, I'm more than sure, you know, and they are getting younger due to the fact of, you know, some of them are, and I hate to say this, you know, everybody out there, don't kill me for this, but I'm just being honest, you know, some of these younger generations are getting pregnant on purpose, you know, because they're thinking, and that's just really getting deep into the subject, thinking that they're going to hold on to, you know, their partner.
Bad moral values.
Right. And the fact remains is that, yes, you are absolutely right. I mean, it's overwhelming how many single-parent homes are out here. But the mindset of that person, period. I think it's the generation and how times have changed, because I personally, and I know a lot of people, not just me, there's a lot of people that I do know that were raised in single-parent homes, and we were taught, you know, respect, and we were taught that, you know, certain things had to be done at certain times. You were taught that you had to schoolwork before anything. You know, these things were taught in our homes, and I think it's a generation. I think it's a different day and age, and I honestly think that we are overpopulated with a lot of children coming from single parent homes, but they're here now. So what do you do? Because they are, just like you said, you know, the problem is here now. So it's that we have to find a solution to solve that. Because, they're here now.
So here's the solution. Because you can't monitor 50 million parents. There's no way to make 50 million parents all of a sudden become good parents. You just can't do it. They're, you know, like you said, they're here and they are who they are. And if you go to most of them and you say, look, you need to change, they're like, look, you can't tell me how to raise my kid. Stuck in their ways, you know, and once they're an adult, you can't tell most of them anything. You have to try to change some of them, but you can't change all of them. We found that you can get maybe 10-20% at best, usually 10. But who you can get are the children. So you have to get the children where they are. See, they're not at home. That's the key. We know that morals, values, and ethics education should start at home, but the kids aren't at home. Or if the kids are at home, the parents aren't there with them. So where do you get these kids properly educated with the correct morals, values, and ethics? You have to go to where they are the majority of the day, which is school. You know, the overwhelming majority of all kids have to go to a public school 6 to 10 hours a day. Every single day, 9 months out of the year, for 14-plus years out of their lives. They spend a lot of time in school getting an education. But the type of education we're offering is the traditional education, math, English, science, social studies, history, so on and so forth. But we're not teaching character. We're not teaching morals, values, and ethics education because we took morals, values, and ethics education out of the schools. And we took it out with religion, because when we took religion out of the schools, we assumed that morals, values, and ethics education should come out with it. And if you look at the statistics, crime, violence, and education test scores and everything start going downhill steadily ever since religion came out of the schools. And because we took the morals, values, and ethics education out with it. So we need to put that education back into the schools so that the kids can start, so because that's where they are all day long. We need, you know, and then we need more extracurricular activities after school. Then we need to expand our definition of what we call an extracurricular activity. Extracurricular activities are not just football, track, baseball, soccer, and so on and so forth. Extracurriculars are also maybe a job. Extracurriculars, if a kid, and I see we have a caller. By the way, dial one if you want to be on the air. I see we got somebody out there who wants to come on. I'll be with you in just a second. If you got a kid who likes to rap, for example, he wants to be a big rap star. We as adults know that your chances of becoming a big rap star are slim and none. It's possible.
Right.
We don't want to kill your dreams or anything, but the reality of it is your chances are slim and none, right? So
that's correct.
Instead of this kid getting out of school, going to somebody's house, down into their basement, rolling a blunt, and spitting rhymes while they smoke a blunt, writing them down on a piece of paper, listening to music, and getting high. What if there was a real studio in the community and you had a program where after school that kid could go to a real studio and work in that studio and learn how to operate the equipment, the studio equipment, learn the business side of the industry. And while he's in the studio, he might get an opportunity to meet some of the people who are doing some things, you know, because in the end, it's all about who you know anyway, right?
Yeah.
So if you're in the studio and you're learning how to operate the equipment and you're learning the business side of the industry, maybe when you graduate, you'll have some skills to where maybe you're not a rap star, but you can get a job in the studio operating the equipment or working on the business side. You're in the industry. And you're around the people who are in this industry who could actually help you. You know what I mean?
Right.
So you could, you know what I'm saying? And so this is an extracurricular activity that's not traditional. And I think we need to expand our definition of what extracurricular activities are and offer some of these additional things that kids can do after school. And you have to still have that morals, values, and ethics component in those extracurricular activities as well. And so that way, you know, even though the parent isn't around, the kids are still getting their proper morals, values, and ethics education instead of getting it from the internet and the TV and the prostitute and the skank, the drug dealer, and the gang member on the street.
Yes, I agree. I totally agree with that.
From the 330, what do you have to say today?
Hey, this is Henry. How's everybody?
Hey, Henry, what's going on?
Good. First of all, can y'all hear me clearly? Because I got on headphones, and I don't know how.
Absolutely. Hear you clear as day.
Okay.
Better than ever.
Okay. I'd like to go back to some of the things you said earlier. About how a lot of us kind of major in what you may perceive to be minors or whatever. I think that we need a new definition of black unity, because the old definition is always trying to find one thing that everybody can agree on, and let's all do this one thing. And nobody ever, you know, the collective whole never wants to do that one thing for whatever reason. So I think the new way of being unified as a black people is, okay, you, for example, might believe in the political process. I personally don't believe in the political process on a national level at all. So instead of us debating about whether the political process is valid or not, what I'm trying to say is instead of debating back and forth as to why I don't believe it works and why he does believe it works, why not I just endorse his beliefs, let him get all the people who want to go that direction, more power to you, you got my blessings, and whatever you can get accomplished in that particular field or in that method, you get accomplished. In the meantime, I'll focus on white supremacy. Another guy may focus on the color of the Messiah or whatever, because all these are all pieces and parts of the whole that do need to be addressed. One is not really one more important than the other when you realize they're all parts of one big machine that needs to be corrected. So instead of us trying to figure out what's the most important or the least important, why don't we let everybody do what they feel as though they're drawn to do, and then we can all maybe make some kind of impact. Because that's everybody's going to do what their heart's in. If your heart's not into the political process, it's into the color of the Messiah, then that's where your heart is, and you need to be over there working in that area, you know, and whatever you can accomplish.
The Let's Change the World movement, okay, the vision is to encourage everyone to do whatever is in their heart to do, okay, to make a positive difference, That's a key word, not a negative difference, a positive difference. Now, that's what the movement is all about. So if you've got something that it's in your heart to do to make a positive difference, by all means, do it. But if what's in your heart to do is counterproductive to positivity, then you know, I'm not for that. Now, one thing that's counterproductive, in my opinion, and I've got a lot of facts and figures and research and actual work in the field to prove it, is to educate our children that participating in the political process and the system is counterproductive to getting anything else done. You cannot get anything done at all in this nation without participating in the political and economic systems of this nation, unless you're talking about leaving the nation. If you leave the nation, then you're not subject to this economic and governmental system, our rules, regulations, so on and so forth. But as long as you decide to stay here, there's nothing you can accomplish outside of this government and this economic system. Nothing.
Okay. Can I address that?
But sure.
I would say that personally, I don't believe that. But see, it goes back to us having a debate and wasting time when I see along with the concept of what I'm talking about everybody do what they what's in their heart to do. That includes not bashing what the other people are trying to do. So instead of me teaching, say, for example, if I got 100 young men and you got 100 young men, you're trying to get them all to vote and I'm trying to get my men to stand up and be warriors or whatever, I don't have to tell my group of men that what you guys over there are doing is ridiculous. All I need to do is focus on what we're doing over here. And you don't have to tell your 100 guys that what we're over here doing is counterproductive. All you need to do is just keep focusing on what you're doing. Because eventually, if we all have the same goal in mind, we should meet up at the end, and we need all those components to make that machine work. So one group doesn't have to tell the other group that the other group is irrelevant or what the other group is doing is irrelevant.
The problem with your theory,
there's no reason why.
The problem with your theory, I understand what you're saying. The problem with your theory is that you're talking about the systems of the United States. Now, any other thing, your theory works fine. But if my idea is that getting things done is by getting more and more, as many as possible, as many black people as possible, participating in the political and economic systems in this nation so that we can affect the positive change that we deserve, and you are over there educating people, no, don't do that, then you are counterproductive to what I believe I'm doing. There's no middle ground there for us to work with. I cannot agree with you.
Let me show you where the middle ground is. The middle ground is I don't have to tell my people that's following what I'm particularly teaching to not listen to you. I don't have to tell them to not go around and listen to what you have to say. As a matter of fact, I might even say, hey, that's Dale Davis over there. He believes in political processes the way. But as you notice, there's always going to be folks that don't want to vote and don't believe in the vote. And those people usually fall by the wayside and end up doing absolutely nothing. So we need to gather those people together to do something productive. Right? Otherwise, just sitting out there and usually they get caught up in whatever. So that's energy out there that's just sitting stagnant that could be directed towards something. Okay, let's just say I don't have to tell these guys to not participate in the political process, but I can tell them maybe you need to start a business and start becoming producers.
Because in order for them to start a business, they have to participate in the political and economic systems of this country, because no matter what type of business you want to start, there's going to be some type of a license or a permit, or you're going to need a zoning variant, or you're going to have to deal with the government agencies. You're going to have to deal with the political system. They may need to have a town meeting to decide if they want this in their community or in this neighborhood. You have to deal with the political and economic systems of this country to start a business. So I'm saying, we have to educate.
I think you're misunderstanding. I'm not saying that. When I say that I'm not for the political process, I'm talking about as far as, for example, believing that my vote is going to determine who the next president is going to be. I think that's a farce. they've already determined who the next president is going to be way before there was ever an election. And you can always tell by how, by the way, how things go and what things get passed.
So who do you think the president
never stops? Huh?
So who do you think the president's going to be now?
You know, I'm kind of undecided in between two things. They're going to create such chaos this last year of Obama's election that Obama's going to declare martial law. Because if you look at the stuff that Trump is doing, he's really causing a lot of chaos in the society by the stuff that he's saying. I don't believe Trump will be president because he's too much of a loose cannon. But Trump doesn't need to be president because the people are going to listen to him. He's going to have a following regardless of who steps in that office. Doesn't make no difference. All Trump got to do is get up and say, well, this president's an idiot. If I was you guys, I'd do this. And he's bold enough to do that, and people just follow his lead instead of the president.
I don't understand.
So the only other likely candidate would probably be Hillary, only because it's time for a female to take office. You know, I doubt we had a minority, black. Now it's time for women because there's a women's movement that's going on, and that will go hand in hand.
I don't understand how you can sit there and take an enormous process and decide that there are two or three people, and I say two or three just to make a point. There are two or three people at the top somewhere who are somehow manipulating this whole thing. They went to Trump and they said, Mr. Trump, we want you to come out. We want you to cause a problem. And then they went, in the end, what we're going to do is we're going to make sure Hillary is president, and we're going to make sure that we do this, that, and the other. And they have orchestrated this whole big show so that in the end they can get the person that they want in office and the situation that they want throughout the nation. And all these 300 million people, we just somehow just fall all in line for these puppeteers at the top who are manipulating everything. I don't see how you could possibly sit there and believe that's humanly possible.
Well, I can give you the short version of it. If you think about it, whoever gets into office and whatever they do, the 300-something million people, they fall as puppets anyway. All they do is complain. The Republican, whoever gets in office, you're going to have a batch of Republicans, a batch of conservatives, and a batch of Democrats arguing back and forth about what their man is or is not doing, right? That happens every time a president's in office, every time. Bush could do no wrong to a Republican, okay? I mean, so it's like that's just the way it is. So when we get together and we vote, of course they're going to tell you that people died in order for you to vote because once upon a time the vote probably was legitimate. But when things change, you know, I mean –
Who elected Obama?
You just kind of read the hand written on the wall. I'm not disrespecting my ancestors in any way that died for the cause of the vote. But it's not whether they died for the purpose of the vote or not. You know, the bottom line is the vote gives the American people the illusion that whoever ends up in office, it was your fault because you're the one that wrote that voted for.
So who put Obama in office? You don't believe. So when you look at all the statistics, and you see the huge swelling of the black vote, which won him the election, okay, you don't believe that black people, that huge swelling of people that show up in the numbers are actually the reason that he got into office. You think that somebody up there wanted to see this black man in office.
Absolutely. We make up 13% of the
population. That doesn't make any sense, Henry.
Wait a minute. We make up 13% of the population.
Mm-hmm.
You have to include within that 13% that there's a lot of people that's still kids, a lot of people that's retarded, mentally challenged, a lot of people that are in prison, a lot of people that can't vote. Okay, a lot of people.
Yeah, but you're not understanding how the electoral college works.
But what I'm saying is, for that percentage of the people, and then a lot of black people didn't vote, still didn't vote. So,
but that's not how the electoral college works. Okay.
I know that he didn't get elected on the popular vote. I understand that. But what I'm saying is, it's not like I'm completely ignorant to politics. What I'm saying is, you have to watch well, whoever gets put in office, you always have to look at not at the results of what they did openly in their election necessarily. You always have to look at the laws that they signed in the place that they didn't announce to you, like the NDAA Act, when Obama signed that in office, like the law that he signed in office, like he signed that made it for you to get extra heavy penalties if you do something to a police officer. Even though last year, police officers' deaths were down at a record low. But yeah, he signs these
things. What's the name of this guy?
The NDAA Act is one. The other one, I can't think of the name of the one that he passed for the police. But if you Google anything about Obama signing any kind of law for police protection, you'll probably come up. These things put so that when you have these riots or these not riots but these protests or whatever, or somebody does anything. It's just all these laws are being put in place to create pandemonium on the street. These guys can go get military weaponry as police officers and point it right in your face, and you're just sitting there standing there peacefully protesting. And if you do anything, then automatically they can just take you away. That the NDA Act literally says that military can just come to your door and just take you out without no court, you can't call nobody, you just disappear. And they've already been practicing something similar to that in Chicago with that building that they found. That they've just been taking all these people and herding them over to this building. They just disappear. You don't know where they're at. So until they, you know, expose it, they're heading for a militarized community. I mean, it was for martial law. And you know,
okay.
And
so
the law
that Obama signed, and this is what I'm saying, when people take things and they always want to consign it to a conspiracy theory. President Obama signed into law, the measure that he signed into law is to warn about threats to police officers and help track down the suspects who carry them out. So the law, it sounds like, just from reading that little short summary of the law, was designed so that if somebody's talking about killing some police officers, it's a law that's designed to protect the police officers from getting killed. Now, what some black people will do is spread education that when the president signed some type of law that there was some type of conspiracy, and really what he did was sign a law that's hurting black folks. And he's a black man himself, the president, you know. And, it's just nonsense.
How is this a conspiracy theory if he's signing a law that says if you threaten a police officer, they can pretty much track you down? Knowing that we're living
that's
in a time.
Good, that's
officers,
a good law. You should
well,
not be able
wait,
to
but,
threaten
wait
police
a minute,
officers.
Wait a minute. Well, they threatened Obama himself. But let me just say this. If you're living in a time when we're living in a huge controversy about police officers killing black people unjustifiably, you know that there's going to be anger out there, so you sign a law so that when these people get up in an uproar, they start saying, we should kill these so-and-sos, they can kind of knock and get you. See, that's all just, so now that you got this law in place, I can just take you. I mean, I can just show up at your place and just take you based on something
that
you posted or something. I'm saying when you if somebody in somebody's family gets shot dead unjustifiably by a police officer, somebody kicks the door down and throws something in somebody's crib and the baby gets burned or whatever, like stuff that actually happened. And so this person gets so angry because they let this cop off. And so he was operating in line of duty, so too bad, so sad. So he gets angry, the mama gets angry. She said, we should kill these folks. They ain't doing this to us. We need to strike back. Okay, automatically, she can go to jail now. Just because she's venting anger about her baby and this cop that came in and did this, they can come and get her for that because of that little law that you think is kind of, you think is a conspiracy theory. You don't need laws like that in place unless you're going to also pass laws that's going to put extra pressure on the police officers to be more accountable for their actions. It has to go both ways.
Look.
So
I like
you're
the
saying
law.
That
I don't
can
think.
Go to, okay, I'm, okay, wait a minute. So you're saying, okay, because you use, for instance, I guess a Molotov cocktail. You're saying someone, the police or whatever throws a Molotov cocktail in someone's home. Now, she's, this parent, let's just say, she's angry, of course. You're saying that they can come and arrest them on what grounds? What that part I'm lost. On what grounds?
Who are you asking the question, me or Dale?
You, Henry. Henry.
Okay, I'm saying that there was a case where they kicked down these people's door because they got a new law down that you can just kick down doors in certain places, right? But you kick down the door, you just come in the house, this guy threw some type of explosive and it went into this baby crib. It blew up and it hurt the baby. They went to court to find out they wasn't even in the right house, okay? They went to court. They let the cop off this, and he was just operating in the line of duty.
Now, right. I've heard of cases like that.
Okay, now this woman might get pissed and out of anger, say, we need to start doing something about these doggone cops. They're killing us. We need to do something about it and kill them. She's angry. But just because she said that, they can come get her now.
Wow.
Based off that law Obama signed that he thinks is a conspiracy theory.
No, See, what you're doing is, look,
Those are real life situations. This is where we
I remember the situation you're talking about, Henry. I remember they ran. There was kids, the grandmother in the house. He was laying on the couch, and the kid was in it. I remember the situation. Okay, because I watch this stuff religiously. That's what I do. So I watch the news. Now, but what you're doing is you're taking this law and you're twisting it, because the law simply says, see, there are two things. Okay, there is the law the way that it's written, and then there is the law the way that it is executed. Now, while you've been talking, I've been sitting here reading more about this law. And basically, this law was written because of the two cops that were killed while sitting in a police car, and they ran up to him and shot him and killed him. Okay, so that's the reason he wrote this law. And what Obama wrote the law for is to say that if someone, because what had happened is they had Instagram, they had threatened to kill police officers on Instagram. So what the law is designed to do is that if they catch you talking about threatening and inciting people to kill police officers on Instagram, that's just like inciting terrorism. So they can send police officers to arrest you and at least interrogate you, because you're talking about killing police officers. It sounds like a perfectly reasonable law. Now, what could end up happening is an abuse of that law. So what you're talking about is an abuse of that law. You're saying that they could take the wording of that law and use that to say, hey, this lady, in a fit of anger because her kid just got killed by police officers, starts yelling, I'll kill these police officers, I'll kill them, you know, in a fit of anger, that they are going to send police to come and arrest this person. That's what you're saying, because of this law.
And I'm also saying that there have been a great number of police officers who get on social media and talk about, you know, Black folks don't deserve nothing, don't understand nothing but a bullet, or we need to, you know, shoot these guerrillas. This is stuff that they get online and post. They might get reprimanded.
So are you also aware of the? Are you also aware of the laws that President Obama has written concerning those type of issues and the big investigation that he's launched in different cities across the entire country, and heads are rolling.
Yeah, because that's why we find out a lot about this stuff. But the problem is, when you fire an officer for doing such a thing, he can just relocate in many cases and get hired on another police force.
So how can
this is the case of Darren Wilson.
I agree with you on that, Henry. I agree with you on that. If he gets fired, he can relocate, get hired again. I get that. But some of these problems, how do we fix them? So what I'm saying is you can't fix them unless you get involved in the political system and start voting for people and being an activist, start protesting, doing petitions, running emergency elections, boycotting. You've got to start your own businesses, all of these things that it takes to make things happen, you have to get involved in the system to change them. Otherwise, they're going to stay the same.
And I'm saying, because this is what I was trying to avoid doing, is going back and forth. But and what I'm saying is every time they pass a law that we may want them to pass, there is always those people again, who are going to sit down and figure out a way to bypass that law, even though they passed it.
And that's why the American people, including black folks, have to stay on their game and be involved and be watching what's going on and not put up with it, because it is a nation run by the people. And if you hire a congressman.
It was supposed to be.
No,
it's supposed to be a country ran by the people.
Well,
the government is running everything. That's
but
the, problem
but
is.
The people have the authority. Hold on.
Let me just say this. Can I just say this, and I'll try to be quiet? If anybody understands and believes in the political process, it's white folks, right? Would you agree with that?
That what?
White folks love. They believe. If anybody believes in the political process more than anybody else, it's white people.
Right, and that's why they're doing the best.
Okay, now listen. Now wait a minute, because now you can't really say that because this country was kind of established in their favor. But the point I'm making is this: when you get radical white people, particularly radical racist white people, they get to the point where they bypass that. They ain't talking about no voting. When they talk about we need to take our country back, they're talking about by any means necessary, because they understand that voting and passing laws and this, that, and the other, this stuff was already in their favor, and they still complaining. They realize that it takes a little bit more. This is why they're talking about guns and stuff like that. They're getting ready for war. They realize there's more to this than just a vote. There's more to this than just legislation. Legislation has to be backed up with a bullet if necessary. Now, that's the way they think.
Voting and legislation. The American system is more, and the show is over, actually. There's more to the American system than just voting, first of all. You know,
I'm trying to say that they're saying it's going to take violence as well. These guys are gearing up for violence.
Okay, what they're gearing up for right now is to try to win the White House. And they're trying to win it through Trump. And if we, as black people, don't join with our Latin friends and other minorities, because that's how Obama got elected. It wasn't just black people. It was the Latins as well, because when you throw in the Latinos, that 13% swells up to 25%. And when you take the majority of the 75% of white folks, 25% of them come on board with Obama as well. It was the black folks who actually got him elected because of that. This black and Latin people. But anyway, the show, unfortunately, we're out of time, you know, which always happens. You always tend to call in a little bit late. But we always appreciate you calling in, Henry. So call in 2 weeks when we have our next show. I'm going to go ahead and mute you out because the show is over. I got a final word, but first I'm going to let my beautiful co-host have her final word.
Yes, you know, and actually I was sitting here, you know, and I can agree with both of you guys in certain instances. And this is a very good topic, and we need to continue it. And definitely revisit it as often as possible, because, I mean, this is real, you know, believe it or not, this is what's happening, this is our future, and people need to know and be more educated on it. And with that being said, my final word is educate yourself. You know, we all have a difference of opinion, but you have to really look these things up, and you have to research it, and you have to actually know what's going on in the world today, because of the simple fact that you are a part of this world, and you're going to be a part of this change. So make sure you just continue to educate yourself on different things that's happening in the world today. These are things that you honestly need to know. And that's all I have for this evening.
Okay, thank you very much. Based on our conversation, I think we need to understand that nothing can move without you getting involved in the political and economic systems in this nation. There's just nothing that can possibly move. white people are doing better than everybody else because education that they receive in schools on government, politics, and economics is superior to the education blacks and other minorities receive in our schools. They grow up believing in a political system, and they master manipulating it. Black people, the way too many of us do not participate, do not believe it's for us, don't believe it works for us, so we don't participate, so therefore we get the shaft all the time. It's that simple. Once we learn how to operate within the system as good as they do, then we can compete because the American system is all about competition. It doesn't favor anybody. It's whoever knows how to work it the best. Fortunately, over the decades, black people have begun participating in the system a lot more. Participation in the government and economic system in this country has grown substantially. And because of that, the number of businesses owned by African-American women grew 322% since 1997, making black females the fastest-growing group of entrepreneurs in the United States. So for those naysayers who say that we cannot progress within this system, that's evidence that we can. Overall, the number of women-owned businesses grew by 74% between 1997 and 2015, a rate that's 1.5 times the national average. But again, black women-owned businesses grew by 322%. That's awesome. I mean, there's a lot of information about how far we have come. There are currently 35,000 black millionaires in the United States. There are 30% of Americans, of black families, 30% of black families are middle class. That's way too low, but it's way better than it used to be. There are 1.9 million black-owned businesses in the United States, $1.1 trillion in wealth. So there's just a lot to be proud of, and it's all because more and more black people have begun to find their way within this nation. Now, with all the negative news and all that that's out there and this, that, and the other, I recommend that we all, black people, white people, Latinos, and everybody, focus on the positives for a change. And that's my final message is let's not focus. When you turn on the news, you see negativity, negativity, negativity. When you research for negativity. Let's start seeking out some positive news. Let's not just look for the bad things that are happening in our lives and in the government and in politics and in the world. Let's start seeking out some of the positive things that are going on and get some inspiration from it and get involved out there. Get active in your community, in politics, in economics, and make something good happen. All right? Final word there. This is Let's Change the World. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Join us right here, 818-739-8909. You can always listen by phone. And you can always find our links on the Change the World blog and on Facebook, Twitter, so on and so forth. Until 2 weeks from now, everybody have a good time.
Start the clock.